living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
All right, I'm speaking with Stephanie Erickson. She's a clinical social worker. She's been doing that for over 20 years, and she focuses on dementia and decision-making capacity. She has her own weekly podcast called Caregiver's Circle on webtalk.net, and she has a website, ericksonresource.com, all one word. Stephanie, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to talk now about seniors and when they're at risk and when should we maybe as kids start recognizing that in our parents. So what are some of the signs that an older person, a senior, is at risk at home?
I think one of the first things is weight loss. Eating is a community and a social event, and a lot of times as people age, they tend to not eat as well. There could also be, medication side effects that are interfering, or even cognitive losses that are interfering with the person getting the proper nutrition. So I think if you notice weight loss, it's something big. Also reduced mobility within the home, going up and down stairs, getting in and out of bed, falls within the home, changes in sleep patterns. That's in terms of the person's physical health. There's also things that you can look at just in terms of the environment. So if you're noticing,
Stephanie, before we go to that, but let's go back to the eating part because I have a question for this. So
sure.
When you talk about weight loss, now there's a lot of reasons for that in a senior. So is it more about maybe losing the desire to eat, loss of appetite? Is that what you're looking at, or is it just the weight loss itself?
Well, I look at the weight loss because the weight loss is a symptom, and the symptom is representative of something else that's going on. Is it because of isolation in the home? Is it because of cognitive losses? Is it just general weight loss over time, which seniors experience anyway? Or is it as an underlying, perhaps medical problem, some sort of a disease or illness that's impacting somebody's weight? And obviously, the thinner we are, we're at more at risk for dizziness, balance problems, falls, et cetera.
You know what's funny, Stephanie? Now that I think about it, that was a stupid question. Because, if somebody's losing, as a medical doctor, if a senior came into my practice losing weight, I'm going to figure out the cause of it and try to correct it anyway. Right? So sorry for that. Yeah, that was, and now I started thinking about it. I was like, well, that was a dumb question. Let's just go on. So you looked at some of the physical risk, and you were starting to go more into some of the cognitive, emotional risk, right? So what are some of those?
Well, before I got to the cognitive, I was just going to talk about the home environment in and of itself. So if you notice that the home is becoming more cluttered, disorganized, mail is piling up, so that might be an indication the person's struggling understanding bills that are laying around or having a hard time just physically organizing the information, the cleanliness of the home, the smell of the home. All of these things are indication that there might be something else going on. The cognitive, do you want me to go into cognitive now?
Sure, yeah, please do.
Okay, then there's signs of cognitive losses. So these are things like someone saying, my microwave's not working, but really it is. Or you're finding burned pots and pans, indicating that someone's forgetting to turn the stove off. You're finding expired food in the home. Your loved one is becoming ill and vomiting or diarrhea. It might be because they're eating food that's spoiled and they're not recognizing that it's spoiled. Or medication errors, over or under medicating. These are signs of cognitive losses that can appear within the home.
Now, if you recognize those things, Stephanie, does that automatically mean that senior needs to be in a home, assisted living environment, something like that? Or are there steps you can do initially maybe to keep them in their own home?
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do to keep somebody in their home, and I would encourage people to never jump to relocation because it's a big thing for everybody, the family, and the senior, him or herself. So first you have to get the senior to acknowledge that there is a concern, that the family members are wanting some sort of assistance, and then you can start slowly introducing assistance in the home provided by family members, friends, or even paid home care professionals.
Yeah, and do you often find that if steps, like that are taken, pretty quickly and we're proactive about it, that often maybe somebody can now still live on their own for two or three more years or something? Do you see that kind of result?
Yeah, I see it a lot, especially when it comes to nutrition, because even if someone's having cognitive losses, once you can improve the nutrition, sometimes it perks people up a bit, and if you can get them on the right medication, it can help to delay the progression of the symptoms, and when they're safe at home, someone can really stay there for a long period of time. Plus, when you have someone in the home, you're providing social stimulation, and there's lots of activities you can do, and the person begins to have more of a purpose. They feel more connected, and that is going to help keep the person at home for a longer period of time as well. Just that that impacts the family now and their stress level, because now they're having to organize and supervise care in the home. So is that right for the family versus relocation? That's something that needs to be evaluated.
So let's use you, Stephanie, as an example, because you told me before in another interview that you're kind of hard-headed. Your kids might have, you know, I mean, let's just say sometime down the in the future, you start showing some of these signs and
Never.
Stuff. I mean, how? See, you're already fighting me. It's just a story. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but how? I mean, so what are some of the things that you could tell your kids right now to how to address these things with you? If it were to happen, I mean, are there ways to approach seniors with concerns like this?
I think so. I think one of the things that's really important is for the children, the adult children, to not act like they have the answers and that it's their life that they're trying to make decisions. To acknowledge that their loved one, it's their life. They're the ones who make the choices. No one is trying to bully anyone or force anyone into a decision. What I'm doing, Mom, is I love you, and I'm noticing that it's really hard for you to get your meals together every day, and the last thing I want is for you to end up in the hospital or to end up in a retirement residence because you don't want it. So, Mom, what can we do together to come up with a plan that's going to keep you here for as long as possible? Because I don't want changes, just like you don't want changes.
Yeah. So what, okay, is there anything, though, okay, so let's say you start recognizing some of this stuff in a mom, dad, grandparent, whatever. Is there anything, though, that are just absolute red flags that, okay, relocation has to be done right now? I mean, is there anything that you might walk into a home, you know, as a social worker, right? Is there anything that you might come into an environment where you're going to say, okay, this senior needs to get out and get some help?
Yeah, I think wandering is is a high risk area. So if the person has the personality where they're leaving the home without supervision and they have cognitive losses, that is very scary because the consequences of that can be very severe. So that's one thing for wandering. If they're in their home environment, if the person understands, so cognitively they're okay, and they understand the risks and the consequences to the choices that they're making, even if they're scary and high-risk choices, they really actually have the right to make those scary decisions. And that's where the family then needs to work on their ability to just kind of let it go. But wandering is very risky, and
that's
over and under
yeah.
medication is very risky as well.
So I watched a show, I don't remember what show it was, you know, on cable or whatever. And it was about two senior women. And they had been best friends all their lives, and they started, and they lived separately, and they were alone now, but they were still friends, same neighborhood. And they started showing some of these signs, you know, that there were some cognitive issues. And the families brought both of the seniors together, and they were now roommates in one apartment. And it dramatically changed how they were taking care of themselves. They were helping each other. Have you heard of that kind of story? Is that an option for people?
That's a great option. How creative for the family and how respectful for the family to do that sort of an intervention versus like forcing a relocation.
I haven't heard of friends coming together. Cool.
That's really cool.
It was really cool. Listen, we got to end it there. Her name is Stephanie Erickson. Her website is ericksonresource.com. Go check it out. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.